It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts on the biggest stories.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Friday edition of the program. My name's Sam Ekstrom on Twitter, at Sam Ekstrom, covering the Vikings for zonecoverage.com. It's been a while since we've caught up with our good friend Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers host, doing a great job over there. Does plenty of writing as well on the interwebs. Peter, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you? Good to be back.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I'm a little sick, but I'm battling through it. I'm putting the team first. It's not about me. It's about the team, so I'm going to power through this illness and we get this thing done. Because we got to talk about this Packers offseason. You know, there's plenty to discuss, obviously, on the Vikings side, but we've talked about it so often that we need to get an outsider's view of a different team. So, Green Bay, your thoughts on the offseason acquisitions, spotlighted by Jimmy Graham.
Well, I think this has been a little bit of a roller coaster offseason for Packers fans, because there was the Jimmy Graham signing, and then less than 12 hours later, there's the announcement that the team is cutting ties with Jordy Nelson, who clearly is a fan favorite, is going to go down as one of the best Packer receivers ever. I think if you look at statistically what he could have produced in the next two or three years had he stayed in Green Bay, you'd have had his receiving stats would have been right up there with some of the best numbers that we've seen in his generation and of all time, frankly. I'm not saying he was a Hall of Fame player, but I'm just saying statistically, it would have made a convincing case. He will be in the Packers Hall of Fame, obviously a little bit less important, but not for Packers fans. So that was tempered a little bit, I think. And then they signed Muhammad Wilkerson. That was something that Packer fans had been looking for. And I think a week in, Packer fans were really happy with what had been going on. And then no cornerback. And then suddenly Tremont Williams, who, you know, fans really like, he comes in and I think he's going to have to play, you know, serious snaps for Green Bay. They make the trade, sending Demarius Randall to Cleveland. They bring in DeShone Kizer. So questions about backup quarterback have been satisfied. I think if they sign a rotation level corner, someone like Devon House, they'll be pretty good heading into the draft. The problem for the Packers is the Vikings got better. The Rams got better. The Saints and the Eagles are going to be really good again. So how much better are they in the hierarchy of the NFC? That's the question that I just don't think we know the answer to yet.
Philosophically, what do you think the differences have been and are going to be between the managing style of Ted Thompson versus Brian Gutekunst?
Well, I think we're seeing it already. You know, one of the things that Ted Thompson was most criticized for, was his unwillingness to make a splash in free agency. And I think that narrative is somewhat overblown when you consider, he did sign Charles Woodson and Ryan Pickett early in his tenure. He brought in Julius Peppers last year, signed Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks. He has shown a willingness to react to disaster in a strong way, traded up in 2009, traded up in 2012 in the draft to get Casey Hayward, to get Clay Matthews. I would say those are two pretty good players. It helps when you hit on those picks, right? So I think this offseason, you can look at the 2017 season as a disaster, not just from a Aaron Rodgers gets hurt standpoint, but Brett Hundley is not ready to handle the load at quarterback. And the defense has glaring deficiencies. So if Gutekunst is going to be aggressive with free agency this offseason, that says very little, I think, about the differences between him and Ted Thompson, because I think Ted Thompson would have been aggressive to some degree, whether he would have signed Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson is, you know, we can't know. But what we'll learn is next year. What does next offseason look like. I think one of the main criticisms that I've always had of Ted Thompson is he was unwilling to improve this team on the margins. So last year he brings in Quinton Dial, Ahmad Brooks, and Devon House. Those are not game-changing players, but they are rotation-level players. And each of them, in different ways, provided critical snaps for Green Bay. And Ted Thompson was simply, for most of his career, unwilling to make those kinds of moves. And when they had injuries or when they had a struggling player, they almost always only had rookies and undrafted free agents to turn to. I think if there's going to be a difference with Gutekunst, I think he is going to be more willing to consistently use free agency as a tool. The other thing, and this is it may seem like minutiae to your listeners, but for Packers fans, this is a huge change, and that is the pre-draft process, which is what we're in right now, all of the pre-draft visits. The Packers traditionally use those under Ted Thompson as a recruiting tool. They would bring in priority free agents, guys who are likely to go undrafted, and basically say, this is where we think you'd fit in our team. And when the draft is over and you don't get taken, we would like you to come play for us. And that worked. And that's why they were one of the best undrafted free agent acquiring teams in football. But what Brian Gutekunst has done is over the past 2 or 3 weeks, he's used his pre-draft visits to vet first round picks. Derwin James, Tremaine Edmonds, Vita Vea, Mike Hughes. These are big name players, first round players, who would never have had pre-draft visits in Green Bay under Ted Thompson. Now, the part of that is because the Packers consistently drafted in the mid to low 20s, and now they're at 14. But I think you're going to see a difference in approach with Gutekunst. He's going to be a little bit more aggressive. I think he's going to be a little bit more traditional in his approach to the draft process, while keeping in mind the processes that he learned from Ron Wolf. He was hired by Ron Wolf, not Ted Thompson, Gutekunst was. So I think he's gonna look a little bit more traditional in that way.
He's at Peter_Bukowski on Twitter, writing for SB Nation, Pro Football Weekly, FanSided, amongst others. So the big move with the quarterback coming in, Kaiser for Randall. What do you think this means for the backup position for Green Bay? And I concede that just based on Kaiser's age, he's 2 years younger than Hundley and has less experience. He probably has more upside. But are fans seeing this as a clear upgrade, or is it going to be more of a preseason training camp competition to get that backup job?
I would be surprised if Brett Hundley is on the roster come September. I think the writing is on the wall with him. You don't trade your number one corner. Now, whether or not he's a good number one corner is a separate question, but you don't trade your best cornerback for a backup quarterback without the expectation that he is going to be your backup quarterback. He is going to be your second quarterback and is your hedge against Aaron Rodgers' potential precipitous decline into his 30s. This is Aaron Rodgers is getting older. He's 34, will be 35. So we see Drew Brees and Tom Brady and even Peyton Manning before that go and play into their late 30s. But we also saw Peyton Manning hit a wall and fall off a cliff. DeShone Kizer will be 27 when Aaron Rodgers turns 40. So I think the Packers realize Brett Hundley is not it. He is not a reliable player. He may be QB3. But the Packers have been unwilling for most of the Rodgers tenure to roster three quarterbacks. And so I think what they will try to do is, as the draft approaches after day one and day two, and potentially even after day three, they will look for a team that didn't get the kind of backup or developmental quarterback that they were looking for and see if they can swing some sort of deal. That would be my guess. He's at a cheap number, Hundley is, for 2018, so they don't have to get rid of him, but it also wouldn't cost them anything to just outright cut him. That would be my guess. Kaiser is not in here to be in competition with anyone. He is the quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. There's going to be no doubt about it, and I think, frankly, he's just more talented. So he's gonna win that job, or at least he should. And if he didn't, perhaps this was a case where Demaryius Randall would not have fetched Green Bay much more than they got from a trade. I would be very surprised if Brett Hundley is still on this roster even by August.
Is there a sense of optimism amongst Packers fans that everyone kind of got thrown off the scent because Hundley played, you know, 10, 11 games or whatever it was, that everything just looked worse because of the ineptitude from Hundley, the defense was on the field more? Is there a feeling that with a Rodgers-led offense that that's going to have a trickle-down effect where everything just looks better next year?
I think yes and no. If you ask me the answer, I will give you a different one than, say, Packers Twitter. They will tell you that this roster isn't very good, and I will disagree. I think it is true that someone like Jordy Nelson looked much worse than he was with Brett Hundley. I will tell you that if the only reason you look good is Aaron Rodgers, then you aren't a very good player anymore. And I think that's the reality that I think a lot of Packers fans are just simply unwilling to face. And the defense at times with Brett Hundley in there played well enough. I mean, that Minnesota game, you and I talked about it after in December, the Vikings offense didn't look very good against a banged up Packers defense. And if not for a couple Lance Kendricks drops, including one that probably would have been a walk-in touchdown, that game in late December would have been a lot closer than it ended up being. So there's still, to me anyway, I think the Packers are clearly a playoff team. I think with Aaron Rodgers, this is clearly one of the best teams in the NFC. And I think it would be hard for anyone to make an intellectually honest argument that the Packers are not in the upper echelon simply because they have Aaron Rodgers. And we saw, I mean, 2016, that team was not particularly talented, the one that went to the NFC Championship game. Rodgers got on an all-time hot streak, and you couldn't touch him. And it took the Packers against the Falcons in that game were literally playing a defensive tackle at offensive tackle by the end of that game. That's how banged up they were. So, you know, but that's also a testament to what Aaron Rodgers can do on his own. I think you have to look at this team and say, if they're healthy, there's no reason why they can't be in and win the Super Bowl in 2018.
Who do you want in the first round?
If it were up to me, if I were given the keys to the castle in Green Bay, I think Derwin James would be number one for me. Denzel Ward would be right after. It seems like there's a possibility both those guys are available. Number three would be Marcus Davenport. I know I'm a little bit higher on him than a lot of, at least the draftniks online. I think NFL teams like him more than, draftniks do, but that's fine. I'll die on that hill. I think he's really talented. So that those are the three names that I've been consistently going with. If there's an under the radar name I really like, it's Justin Reed, the safety from Stanford. He was actually in for a pre-draft visit with the Vikings. If that happens, I'll be a little heartbroken because he's my dude. And that's where I think those three names are the ones. If I could expand the list a little bit, I think you add Josh Jackson, Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, and Harold Landry. I think that's the group that they will choose from ultimately. And I think that's the list that they should choose from. So it works out nicely for Green Bay to be in a position at 14 where there could be three, four, even five quarterbacks who go ahead of them. And that just is going to push down quality players to a team that is probably one or two impact players away from being, you know, the best or second best team in the conference.
So it sounds like you want defense. That's the overarching theme. Defense, defense, defense. What do you say that secondary, number one, defensive line, number two priority? You know, after that, you know, filling in the cracks, where do you think the Packers will add some complementary pieces?
Well, I think if you just looked at what they needed, you would probably say they need some security at offensive tackle with Brian Bulaga's health being a question mark. But this is not a great draft for offensive tackles. So, you know, maybe they just say we're going to be good with what we have. They have Jason Spriggs on the roster, Kyle Murphy coming back from injury, and Justin McCray played really well last year at guard. So he could be the future at right guard. I think they will add a pass catcher, whether it's another tight end or a receiver. I think whether it's at 76 or 101 or 133 or potentially multiple places, I could see the Packers doubling up at receiver. They could use another boundary player. But one of the interesting things about the Jimmy Graham signing is I expect him to play split out a lot. He'll play in the slot, but I think he's also going to do something that the Packers did with Jared Cook a lot, and that is play him on his own side, split out, and in bunch formation and in 2x1 sets where he's the outside receiver. And I just think that would be a fascinating look for them. I think you're going to see the Packers play a lot of traditional personnel, but in non-traditional ways. But I think receiver, offensive line, those are the places that you're going to see. If I'm just going to telegraph the first four picks, my prediction would be defensive back, edge rusher, receiver, and then they may go back to the well with one of those other players, cornerback, edge, depending on what that first pick was, and then offensive line in the mid rounds. That would be how I would predict how their draft will look.
Terrific stuff at @Peter_Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. Thanks for carrying the show today. My voice is barely hanging on. I appreciate all the insights, and we'll catch up with you once again, I'm sure, as the summer goes on.
All right, take care.
He's Peter Bukowski. I'm Sam Ekstrom on Twitter @SamEkstrom. Locked On Vikings, lockedonvikings.com on the Locked On Podcast Network.